Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. Continuing from our last episode, in this episode of The Diff, we will discuss more about building multiplayer virtual reality applications. We will learn about the platform SDK multiplayer features and the open source Oculus Shared Spaces sample in Unity. And with me today is Zach, who is a software engineer on the VR Developer Environment Engineering team, to tell us more about building multiplayer VR apps in Unity. Hi, Zach. I'm super excited to have you here with us. Could you please tell us more about yourself and what you work on?
Hi, I'm Zach Drake. Thanks for having me. I'm a software engineer on the developer technology team. I focus on samples and graphics features, mostly working in Unreal Engine, but I also have past experience with Unity and work on some Unity samples as well. I have a background in games. I started out doing PS2 and Xbox games. I worked on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series. I did like six of those, starting with THPS4. And then I also worked on Guitar Hero. If you ever played drums on Guitar Hero, that was my code. I wrote all of the drum input code for that. After working at Activision, I worked on some AR applications for a while, mostly on mobile with track targets and things like that. Did a bunch of AR applications for that type of stuff. And then for a while, I was working on heads-up displays for cars with working with FPGAs and ASIC design for holographic displays that were used in those heads-up displays. And then I've been with Meta for about 2 years now. I've been on the dev tech team the whole time, and I've been working on a number of samples. I did a graphics showcase. I recently released a port of Showdown to Quest, and I also worked with a few team members on the Shared Spaces multiplayer sample.
Wow, that sounds interesting. And I really like Guitar Hero. I mean, I enjoy playing it a lot. Thanks for the introduction. So you mentioned Shared Spaces sample. So let's talk about it a bit. Could you tell us what the sample is about and like how it works?
Yeah, so Shared Spaces was basically our way of building a template so that developers can get like a head start on a multiplayer game. We're trying to take care of like all the low level stuff that is involved in like getting multiple players into like the same room and to kind of deal with like kind of the base multiplayer functionality so that the developers can work on the gameplay and the fun stuff. It's really intended as a template, and that's part of why we've made versions of it for both Unity and Unreal.
That sounds interesting. Can you tell me a little more about like how the sample is organized and like something about the inner workings? Like, I know that we want to abstract it from the users so that it's like very easy for them, mm-hmm. but like just for people who are curious, like how does it work behind the scenes?
Yeah, so there's a few layers underneath. So like the main thing we wanted to expose was the platform SDK with the multiplayer features, and that's kind of the highest level that supports invites and roster, like so you can see where your friends are and invite them to the same matches as you and stuff like that. There's a couple layers under that where we use Photon, which is actually delivering the packets back and forth between the players. And if you need to send like the position of your character, that gets wrapped up in a packet that gets sent through Photon to the other player's device. And then there's the low-level engine part that takes that packet in or is actually creating and receiving those packets and turning that information into the actual position, like updating the actual position. So if my character moves on my headset, if I may move my position in the world, I need to send that that new location to everybody else so they know where to draw my character. The engine will package that up, hand that off to Photon. Photon will send that packet and on the other end receive that packet, and then deliver that packet back to the engine. And the engine will then handle decoding that and updating that player position. So those two layers like really work closely. And then the multiplayer, the platform SDK multiplayer is kind of on top of all of that to kind of get you into the same rooms and things like that. So.
Wow, that is so interesting. So you mentioned like the platform SDK is built on top of these. Like, what are the features that are like the platform SDK is responsible for? Like when we see the sample, like which are the features that the platform SDK actually does?
That's a great question. So platform SDK is handling things like we have to talk to the platform SDK to get like your Oculus IDs. So like the game doesn't know who you are without talking to the platform. So it'll get like your Oculus ID. And then when you want to send an invite, it's going to get pull down like the list of your friends. And so it's going to give you that list. Like we have to ask the platform, okay, your Oculus ID is this, who are you friends with? And then it's going to look up things like, where are they? Are they even online? Are they already in the same game as you? Like things like that. And then handle delivering the invite. It'll show the invite on the other end. And then like once they're in your game, it handles things like the roster panel, which kind of shows like, okay, yes, you are in the same room, or you're in the same game, but maybe not in the same room, things like that. So platform SDK is all about, the user, like your user accounts, where you are and how to get your friends together. So that's a big part about multiplayer. It's like really helpful to get everybody together like that. It can be difficult to like coordinate. Again, a lot of times people end up coordinating outside of the game, like, oh, let's jump on Discord, or I'm trying to look at my phone like while I've got my headset on, or things like that. Platform SDK is trying to resolve some of those issues by simplifying the process of getting together inside the headset. There are other options as well, as you can send invites like from outside, from the mobile app, and that will then launch the headset directly into the game. So those are all that's kind of like what it does. And it's trying to overcome the hurdles of like getting together, just make things like run smoothly without like having to depend on other platforms to communicate.
Wow, that's awesome. You did mention that it helps people join like rooms. So how do you define a room? Like if you're making a game using the SDK, like how do you define a room and how do you make sure that people join your room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the concept of the room is, it can be confusing because there's a lot of like different definitions of what is a room. And there's a lot of like terminology, like, oh, there's like, what is a match? What is a room? What is a lobby? We have a bunch of documentation around shared spaces that kind of covers a lot of that, but sometimes it's up to the developer onto like what they consider to be like a match. Like there's like Photon has the concept of a match, but it's not like it doesn't have to be the same thing for every game. Like if using a match in one way works better for you than what somebody else is doing, like that's fine. Like if you think about a game like Pop One, like they obviously have a lobby, like you go in there, there's matchmaking, you get put into a match, which is, is one battle and then everybody battles it out. And then when you're done, you go back to the lobby. But like that match can encompass like multiple groups of people. And so like Naviata and I might pair up and be in the same lobby, and then we join a match and there's a bunch of other people in that match too. But when we finish that round, we want to go back to that same lobby. And so that's kind of one way to think about it. And like I said, there's a bunch of layers. Like we tend in shared spaces, like we think of the room as like the virtual environment that your characters are in. And so if you can see each other in the virtual environment, we consider you to be in the same room. So the lobby is a room. Then we have a bunch of colored rooms. We have red, blue, and green room. Those are all private rooms. So if you get invited to the same lobby and you go into the red, blue, or green rooms, the same people from your lobby will be in there. If you go to the purple room, that's a public room. And so there's no invite required. And so you can just run in there. And if literally anybody else is running like shared spaces at the time and they're in the purple room, you'll see them there. But yeah, there's a lot to kind of figure out around rooms and matches and like how you're going to use them. Shared spaces provides like one example of how to do that. And if that works for you, great. But there are like, you can adjust the way that works as well.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, the concept of match, it almost feels like it's always going to be like one person versus the other. But I think match can also mean like you're forming a team and then you can even collaborate. Like it's almost like design dependent, right?
Yeah. The way I kind of think of it is the match is temporary. Like when the match is over, you're going to go back to the lobby. There may be people in your match that aren't in your lobby. There may not be. It may be that like we're just playing a two-player game and we go into a match and it's the two of us and we go back to the lobby and it's just the two of us. But I think the pop one is like a good example of like, okay, we go in, there's a whole bunch of other people that weren't in my lobby. I wasn't talking to them before. And then like when it's all over, I go back to the lobby and it's just the people that are in my my group.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. And you mentioned Photon is what we are using for like the transportation via room. Mm-hmm. So like, why did we choose Photon and like choose it over other options?
Yeah. So Photon has become like a really popular cross-platform transport layer for networking. And a lot of our devs were just already using it. Especially for anybody that's building cross-platform that may have already used Photon for, you know, another device, like it just makes it easier for them to transition. Or if you're planning to like build for, you know, some other device in addition to Quest, like you don't have to like ramp up a whole nother transport layer for networking. Like you can just continue to use that. So, but we've built shared spaces in a way that it is modular. And if you want to use a different transport layer, if you want to use Epic Online Service, EOS, like you can do that as well. I think we might have in the works like an update to include that as well. So, but yeah, you can use like shared spaces is very modular. You can use the parts of it that are relevant to you, and you can throw out or replace the parts that don't do exactly what you want as well.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I mean, the fact that we can actually remove and replace things based on the need, I think that's a really good design pattern. So that's interesting. So how different is like this sample? I know there's an Unreal shared spaces sample as well. So how different is this sample compared to the Unreal one?
Right. So yeah, we actually started on the Unreal version first. That's kind of where we built everything. My team mostly works with Unreal. We get a lot more access to the engine code with Unreal, so we can kind of build things with that. But then, yeah, obviously, like the need for a multiplayer sample exists for Unity as well, and we have a lot of devs on Unity, so we've ported it over. The main difference is, I mean, the platform SDK is basically the same. You're getting the same features for both platforms. We still use the Photon layer for both. For Unreal, I actually wrote the Photon net driver, which handled that middle layer. For Unity, that layer already exists. Like Photon was providing that, so that required less work on my part. And then the transport layer, it used the netcode for game objects layer. The netcode for game objects was the part that matches the net driver in Unreal. So that part was already there. And then, yeah, and then it just ties into the lower level replication code inside of the Unity engine. So the three layers are still there. It's the same thing. It's just they're called different things, and some of it we had to implement a bit more of it ourselves on Unreal. Other differences, like in the Unity version, is that we added VoIP. Photon had VoIP support, and so we added the Photon VoIP plugin, and that's probably the most obvious difference between like the Unity and Unreal versions.
Wow, VoIP sounds like so much fun. I mean, it can take multiplayer experiences to another level, like make them so much more immersive. Like, what are some of the challenges that arose when you were developing shared spaces particularly, and what can arise when people start building multiplayer VR applications?
Yeah, so the first challenge, and probably one of the harder things for me was just being able to test it, like, on headsets. You get used to creating, like, single-player applications, or, you know, if that's what you've kind of always done, or then you're used to, like, oh, here's my one headset. I load up my APK, I put on my headset, and I test it. But when it comes to multiplayer, it gets a lot more complicated than that. You pretty much have to have two headsets, or you need to have another friend or developer that is like available on a whim when you need to test something. It's a lot easier if you have two headsets, because you can literally, from Unity or from Unreal, you can push the APK to all the headsets that are attached to your PC, at the same time, rather than let me upload this APK so Naviata can then download that and then push it to her headset, and then we can it's a lot easier to do simple tests with two headsets yourself. I actually throughout the development, I took a bunch of notes, and there's I wrote a multiplayer quick start guide that covers both Unity and Unreal. It covers kind of setting up test users and stuff like that, and it's involved. It's not that hard, but it's kind of hard to discover, so it helps to have the guide to kind of walk you through. Other than getting your headsets up and running and be able to test, there's other challenges for multiplayer. You're gonna deal with things how many players can I have, because we're running a server on somebody's headset. If you're the first player in the room, you become the master server there, and then other people that join are connecting to your headset. And at some point, your network capability or your pipe is full, and it starts to cause issues. So you have to set a max players. But I think on shared spaces, we've done 6 or 8 players without any noticeable issues. But that's also with most of us being working from home, we have pretty strong network connections, pretty good internet. And so it'll differ depending on who is actually hosting the game. That applies to pretty much any platform where you're doing self-hosting. There's going to be a limit to how many players you can have, but you really just have to try it. And depending on your game, you may be sending more or less data. And so you might be able to, we might be able to do 8. Another game might only be able to do 4, or another game might be able to do 12, who knows, but it really depends on how much data you're actually synchronizing between the players. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that totally makes sense. I mean, the fact that if you're playing a game that depends on say I'm going to play first, and then maybe something is going to get updated, and then someone else is going to use that data to play, and then I lose connection, and then I'm what's going to happen? There's such a limbo state. You have to handle that situation that someone loses connection, and then who handles mm-hmm. that, and how does the game proceed after that? So that's really important. Yeah.
And losing connection, we've set up shared spaces to handle host migration. So if we're all in the same room and Naviata is the first one in there, but then she has to leave, like she's got another meeting to go to or something, then when she drops out, she's no longer the host. Whoever was the next person in the room will then become the host, and it'll migrate seamlessly, and everybody stays in the room. Like you don't all get dropped back to the lobby or kicked out of the game or stuff like that. And that's an important feature that took a lot of like trial and error to implement. And those are the sorts of things that the shared spaces template like provides to you. Like we've already kind of worked these kinks out. And so, it's really helpful to have that in the template. And then like on talking about like other issues with multiplayer, like latency is a big issue. Photon provides like a bunch of settings, and one of those settings is around where the Photon server that you're talking to is. So, because the host, like in the room, is hosting the game on their headset, but all of your data is going through the Photon server. So, like I'm sending the position, my world position, to Naviata, but it has to bounce off of the Photon server. And if we're both on like the West Coast and that Photon server is in like Europe somewhere, it's going to take way longer for her to know where my character is. And then like if you're in like VR chat or something, like it doesn't really matter if like your world position isn't that big of a deal. But if you're in Pop 1 and like you're dodging a bullet and then like it takes, you know, half a second for that to update on the server, which is the real truth of like where record of truth, I guess is what you would call it. Like the server has the record of truth, and if they don't know your position at that time, then it didn't happen. And so like latency can be a really big problem. We on shared spaces, like we're essentially just setting our, like we've hard coded on the server for to use the Photon server on like the West Coast of the US, because that's where we've been developing everything. If you wanted to use this for like an actual game release, you probably want to update that logic to either have different lobbies where people from different parts of the world get paired up to each other, or you can set up a system where it checks the latency between different Photon servers and then chooses the one that has the lowest latency at the start of the game. But that is one piece of logic that we left out. But Photon has pretty good documentation on how to set that up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really important factor, like especially when things are dependent on each other. Like since you mentioned that the headset, the server is the source of truth for all the data, right? What happens... Mm-hmm. And we know that there's handling logic for like if the server loses connection, but like what has this ever happened that any data is lost like while handling this transition, or is there any chance it can get lost?
It could lose data, but I think there's checks on to ensure that like the important data like actually gets there. It'll reattempt, you know, to send the data if it's it's like standard TCP/IP stuff. Like if it doesn't get received, like if it doesn't get acknowledged, then we'll just send it again. You shouldn't have to worry about that stuff. Like I have not seen an issue where like the data was not received. Like as long as the connection is there, as long as the connection is not dropped on one end or the other. Like it works pretty well.
Nice. Yeah. And for latency, like you mentioned latency, I think latency is super important to keep in mind, definitely when building like multiplayer applications. Like you mentioned that the server region has an effect on latency, but like if we had to, as developers had to like change that region, like you said, what are the things that we need to change? Like, do we just change the location, or do we need to change anything in how the destinations or rooms are configured, or is there anything else that we need to change to handle that?
So, yeah. So the simple way and like the kind of let's not call it lazy, but the simple way that we did it for the sample was we're just configured hard coding to a specific server location in our Photon app settings. So we have it so that shared spaces always use, like, basically out of the list of servers, the only one we're allowing it to use is US West Coast. But like I said, like, that works fine for a sample. Actually, if you're rebuilding shared spaces and you're not on US West Coast and you're like trying it out, change that setting, go in, set it to wherever you are. If you're in Europe or Asia, make sure you update that setting, because you're gonna see the latency, like you're gonna see the lagginess there. But if you're actually releasing a game, you don't want to just hard code that. You want to add the logic to, like I said, either have specific lobbies for different regions, and you can let the player choose, oh, I'm in this region, take me to this lobby, pair me up with other people in this region. Or you can have, like I said, you can have, there's a Photon API feature to like ping the servers and determine which ones are producing the lowest latency. And then you can select that through the Photon APIs. There's definitely different ways to do that, and you should not use the way we did it in a released game, but for our sample, it gets the job done. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, these are interesting things to know so that when people actually make games, they can keep all of this in mind. Mm-hmm. So for our developers who are just starting out with multiplayer VR development, like, what are some of the resources you recommend, like learning material or any other resource where our developers can learn more about this sample, other samples, and like just try it out?
Yeah, there's a ton of resources we put together, because we worked on this project for quite a while, and so we've got a lot of information about it. Before I mentioned the multiplayer quick start guide, like that's how to set up for multiplayer development, get your multiple headsets set up, how to get your test users configured, because like if you're using multiple headsets, you can't use your developer account on both headsets at the same time. You've got to have another user because you can't invite yourself to a game, right? So, you need to have those test users. So that guide will run you through all of that, like getting everything configured and all the way to like pushing out the APK to your devices and all of that. There's a bunch of other resources. There's a blog post that Eric put together that has a bunch of details about shared spaces. There's a video that Eric put together where he walks you through and shows you a quick example on YouTube. It's got on the Oculus YouTube channel that's gotten a lot of views. And so the shared spaces code is available on GitHub at our Oculus-samples GitHub account. There's a bunch of other samples on there as well, but if you're wanting to use shared spaces, either the Unity or the Unreal version, they're both available on GitHub, Oculus-samples. And if you have questions, like if you run into a problem, go to the issues section of those GitHub repos and just post it. Like, we monitor that, we review those at least once a week, and we will post responses. Like, even if it's a question like, oh, does it support this feature? Or like, yeah. Or if like, oh, I'm trying to build it and I get this error, like anything like that, you can go to the GitHub issues and post it there. Like I said, we keep a pretty good eye on that.
Yeah, I think posting it on issues is great. I mean, open source is such a great place to like just learn from the community and learn from what people are building and what are the issues they face. And I think that's the best place to share best practices. And like, even if there's like, so we made this app and then we're like, we want this additional feature. I think that's the best place to actually mention that, because if there's something people want and we get to know that people want it and we can actually take a look at it and build that in. So I think those are all great points. For like building open source project, like this is on GitHub, you said, so it's a really good place where people can learn and build themselves. So what do you think helps, like in this case, you mentioned that we always look at issues and we address them. How do you build a healthy community around this particular project? Like, what are the things that you have learned from like GitHub, issues that were already there, or were there any changes that happened to the project because of those?
Yeah, definitely. We had some issues like when we first released it, where we run into problems sometimes because we're developing internally and we have access to tools and things that like other developers don't. And so like we can run into an issue where like, oh, this thing we released is like expecting this newer version of the SDK or this particular feature that wasn't like available to external devs. And so like we did, like there was an issue with shared spaces when we put it out that we didn't know about until like another dev tried to run it and they were like, oh, this doesn't work for us. Like, what's going on? And yeah, we were kind of like, we just had no visibility of it because we didn't have external developer accounts. And so that was a problem. But the external developers posted about it, let us know, and we jumped on it and got it resolved like right away. So, and there's other like smaller issues where, I don't know, I'd have to look at our list of GitHub issues, but we've had probably like 10 or so different issues pop up and we've always addressed them for the devs. And that there's a few across like the different platforms, but it's been really good back and forth. And like I said, we try to address things pretty quickly, and just get the answers out, you know, because we know that like if you're taking the time to like use our sample, like you're doing that for a reason. Like you're trying to like make forward progress. And if you have a question, like it you need a timely response, or you're just gonna have to find another way to do it. So we try to be cognizant of that, like when there's a need, like, and but it's also great because when someone posts an issue and we post the response, like sometimes it's just like a configuration issue, like, oh, I put the wrong app ID in here and so it didn't work, things like that. And by somebody posting that in our issues and us responding in a public way, it becomes visible and others can see that. And if they have the same problem, they're able to like see that solution without having to post and wait or submit a support ticket or something, you know, like that. The solution then becomes part of the public record. And so they're able to, it's able to help other people down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also sort of builds that trust, like we know people are using it and we're there to help you while you use it. So I think it's a really good thing. So before we end this episode, like what are some of the other multiplayer VR projects that you or your team are working on releasing?
So there's a couple multiplayer projects in the works that are like still pretty secret. They're kind of early on right now. But like we built Shared Spaces as a template. And so Shared Spaces is kind of like, if you see it, it's pretty bare bones. Like there's not a lot going on. Yeah, it's, can we get into a room together? Can I invite my friends? Can we like the funnest thing you can do is like jump on top of each other's heads. If you haven't tried that, do it, because you can actually land on top and like, and get stuck on top of each other's heads. That's about the most fun you can have in there. Or you can do 360s with the controller. You can do jumping 360s, but there's not a lot of gameplay in there. So we're trying to build, or we are building some other multiplayer examples that use Shared Spaces base code and will provide more interesting multiplayer functionality. Those are pretty early on, so I'm not going to say like when to expect them, but other than like multiplayer stuff, like our team does a lot of other projects as well. I released the graphics showcase in the past, which was like an Unreal showcase that showed off like the tone map subpass in Vulkan, allows you to do color lookup tables, like post-process effects without doing a whole nother render pass. and without requiring like mobile HDR. I also just released the Quest version of Showdown, which was originally like a PC VR demo on Rift. And so did a ton of optimization on that. There's a couple blog posts about Showdown. One of them is pretty thorough post about optimization. A lot of it is Unreal specific, but a lot of like the techniques and things are relevant to Unity as well. And like that's written in the context of like not just to like, oh, here's what we did, like here's a laundry list of things we did to like make this project, but more written in a context of like here as a reference, like if you're optimizing a an app for Quest, like here's some things you want to check, and like here's why they're relevant, and talking about like CPU and GPU bound and things like that. And then the other thing like that we're working on now is like with UE5 out, like we need to optimize UE5 so that it is usable on Quest, and that, you know, we're getting the same performance out of it that we were from like UE4.27. So there's a bunch of people working on like optimizing UE5 within my team and within other teams as well. But yeah, like I definitely, if you want to see more of the work from my team, go to github.com/oculus-samples and check that out. That's where all of our public like repos are for our recent work.
Awesome. I can't wait to try these out. Cool. Thanks for such helpful insights, Zach, and thanks for all the amazing work that you and your team do. And with that, we'd like to conclude this episode of The Diff. Thank you, Zach, for providing us with such great insights into the VR platform SDK multiplayer features and all its features and the super helpful resources that we have, like Shared Spaces Sample, to help our developers get started with multiplayer VR. And thank you so much for all the amazing work that you and your team do. It was great having you here.
Thanks, Naviata, for the opportunity to talk about my team's work and helping us to promote it to developers. It was really fun talking with you.
Absolutely. That's it for today then. Thank you so much, Zach, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.